Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Right along here at T-Line in West Nashville. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin with you. It is our birthday, and we're excited about our next guest who is on with us, and we're going to bring somebody on the phone in a second to say hi to him because he knows him very well. But Coach Jeff Fisher joins us here at T-Line. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing great. So you say we have a surprise.
We have a surprise. Somebody that
played, you like.
That you like. That, okay. That played for
that
you.
That would be everybody. What? So you're not going to throw any names at you, but thanks for having me. This is really cool. You know, I really, since I started hanging out with you guys, we get to go see the Omni all the time.
Oh,
nice
yeah.
places, you know. This place is really, really nice. I'm really impressed here.
So
this
It is a cool place. And Mark Bulger, who went up against several times when he was with the Rams.
Yeah.
And then he played with – so here's a funny thing for you. He played 1 year with D-Mace in Baltimore.
Okay.
I think Derek's – it may have been both of their last years. But,
yeah.
They played together in Baltimore, which is a small world.
Well, he knows what he's – this is really impressive. Man, you could teach fly fishing lessons out there.
Yes,
so much space.
Yeah. Let's bring in forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders, who is on the line with us. Chris, say hello to your former head coach.
Hey, this is Carl Pickens.
Oh, you know what? If it is, I'm still going to ask you why you ran the out cut when you should have run a dig, because Steve threw the dig on time and it hit the safety in the chest. Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
And then Steve goes, he comes off the field, he goes, I'm never throwing it to that dude ever again.
Okay, I'm Chris Sanders, man.
Okay. All right. Just for clarification's sake, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Congratulations on your win.
Oh, yeah. You know, it was really fun.
Awesome.
It was really fun. I mean, working with Chase and Big Joe and the great job that they did,
absolutely.
With exception of the last minute. Joe,
sorry.
I had to talk my head coach off the ledge. What's that guy, Big Joe, doing second guessing me with and da da da? Go.
Sorry, coach.
I said, you know what? He wasn't alone. So yeah. I was going, what is going on here? This is 11 on 11. This is like what you don't do in 11
right.
on 11. But, yeah,
right
he had a plan and it worked out. But, yeah, Chris, it was thanks for everything you've done for us with the games
it.
Over here and stuff. It was really fun. The players deserved it. And, you know, Clarksville and the league, it was really a great stepping stone for the league. And, you know, we're staying busy and bringing new markets in and all kinds of good stuff
going on.
Yeah. So how are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Just coaching football and doing some sports stuff, and that's it, man. But another thing I want to say about you, Jeff Fisher, is I love how you build teams from scratch. I'm not saying that the cats were built from scratch, but how you just get the right people in, get the right players in, and you build something special. Just like in 1999, you had some key guys there, and you brought some other guys in, and we went to the Super Bowl. So I take my hat off to you on how to build a team.
Well, I appreciate it. I give a lot of credit to Darren, and Darren was really involved in the personnel. And, you know, it's anything in life, Chris, you know this, and you've known this for a long time. It's surrounding yourself with the right people and, getting the right people in place to make the right decision and trusting people. And so, that's what we've done. But I will bring this point up. You said 99. We started – it was really interesting.
Yeah.
I've been, kind of going – down memory lane for a number of reasons, but we started this thing back in well before 99.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
You remember when Chris Berman called us the Tennessee Tuxedos and we couldn't here's a question for you guys Chase and Big Joe. How many primetime games did we have in 99? Do you remember? Did we even have a Monday night game? Because we were bottom of the barrel. I mean, it was great because we prided ourselves on noon kickoff Central Time. Hey, it's hot. Let's get up early, kick their butt. We don't care whether it's from the West Coast or the East Coast,
right.
Kind of thing. We're just going to do our stuff here. But we just didn't have the luxury. Now, granted, you know, the league looking at what you're doing and the move and, you know, what happens in, you know, 95, 96, and then 97, hey, you're on your way, you're out of town, and, hey, we'll catch up with you when, right. when you finally get your feet on the ground.
You had a Thursday night game.
We did?
Thursday night game against the Raiders.
Mm. Okay.
Wow.
But that wasn't here. That wasn't a Thanksgiving thing. That was
no,
just a
it was
Thursday
December.
Night game.
December 9th. It was at home.
Okay.
You won 21-14.
21. And how many catches did Chris Sanders have?
Let's see.
Zero.
Okay.
He usually knows.
Right.
Steve rushed one in. Eddie had two rushing as touchdowns. And then – let's see, passing, rushing, and receiving. What's your name? Chris Sanders.
Oh, wow.
You were targeted one time and no catches.
That's okay. But, Chris, real quick, though, because Coach Fisher's here. Coach Chris Sanders says his career really took off when you signed Dave Craig.
We always talk about Dave Craig.
You know I don't know. We have to ask Bulger about Dave Craig.
Dave
was crazy. He had a great personality. I loved having him in, and it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like we needed him to play. Just needed that personality around
because
his arm was pretty much shot by then. But he won a lot of games, man. Remember Craig and Largent and all those guys? I mean,
great
Craig
players.
He was a special guy. That was fun, man. There we go again. We always end up down memory lane
right.
for some reason. I just love that. Yeah,
Chris, we wanted to take a moment to thank you because you have been a huge part of this radio station for 15 years. I mean, you've been coming on with us since year one, and obviously doing the pregame shows and everything. And so you're a huge part of our family. And
thank you.
We're just kind of going down memory lane today, and Coach is here and going to talk to him, but. Wanted to give you an opportunity to come on and so we could say thank you.
You know, it's the analogy I give, Chris, is, you know, you put in all the time early in your career. You go through training camp after training camp. You're developing your skills and everything. And then finally you get not a break, but you get recognized by your peers and you're voted the first team Pro Bowl. And that's what happened here with you guys.
Wow.
Congratulations, guys. I mean, it's really awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's really awesome.
I want to say I appreciate y'all, man. I mean, when I first started with you guys, it didn't just become a friendship. It became a brotherhood. I know we kind of throw that word around all the time, but I actually consider you guys as my brothers, like Derek Mason, you guys. All you guys just make it so much fun to not just come on the radio, but just build a brotherhood that I will always remember for the rest of my life. So, yes, you brought me on, but at the end of the day, we went from friends to brothers to a family. So I love each and every one of you guys. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Listen, you know, very rarely does a guy play his entire NFL career with one head coach, and you had Coach Fisher.
Yeah.
The entire time. So that's really unique in that setting, the fact that you had one voice, one guy the entire time, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, but here's the thing I love about Jeff is he's a player's coach. He understands the game, number one, but also he understands the players. There's a lot of coaches that just coach but are not approachable and not relational. So the one thing I love about Jeff Fisher is the relationship that we had. I mean, he'll talk to you on the sidelines. I remember one game we were getting blasted by Pittsburgh. I mean, the video's out. And he just gathers everybody up, and he says, okay, you know what? We're just going to take our time, and we're going to claw back in this game. We claw back in the game. We lost. But just the attitude and the determination and bringing everybody together. Absolutely love you, Coach Fisher.
Well, Chris, thanks for everything that you've done here. You're a great teammate, and that was what was important to Floyd and myself was getting guys in here that we anticipate would become great teammates because that's what it's all about. So congratulations on everything, Chris, and again, your contribution to what these guys done. I had this thing. I have an idea. You guys think I'm crazy, but the listening audience doesn't know what goes on when we go to commercial.
Right.
There's so much stuff that goes on commercials, right? So many stories and things like that.
Yeah, right.
We need to have a hot mic.
No, we don't.
Hour.
Yeah.
I won't say bad words. Okay.
Well, what I've always wanted to do is have like a night, you know, an event with you and Chris and D-Mace and, you know, bring in whoever that, and it's just stories. Yeah. We just sit and tell stories, and I think that could be a lot of fun. So we definitely need to work on doing something
we'll
like that.
We'll do that. We had something similar, as you guys know, way back when. We can resurrect it, because then we can invite public and obviously our close friends who will be having the conversation. But we could support very worthy charities that
yes.
way, too.
Yeah,
I think we can raise awesome. Some good money for that, for needy charities. I think yeah. that would be really cool.
Chris, who do the Big Red have tonight?
We have a team from Memphis called Hamilton. So
okay.
don't know anything Chase, about them, but we just
Chase just saw them on Broadway.
Oh my God! Swing and a miss.
Well, Chris, best of luck with them tonight. We'll go ahead and let you go on that, because I know you got some pregame stuff to do, but. Thank you, my friend, and we will talk soon.
Hey, Chris, good luck. Bye-bye. Hey, make sure you run the football, bud. See
you. Oh, yeah. All right, guys. I'll take care. Bye-bye.
You too. See you, Chris. We will have – you good to stick around for a minute?
I got no place to go. Wonderful day for you guys.
Awesome.
Let's get it.
We will have more with Coach Fisher coming up next,
yes.
live from T-Line in West Nashville. But let's give something away, because I think I missed one, and we got to do this. So we're going to give a pair of tickets to see Sting at The Truth on Tuesday, October 20th. Greg Pogue, you're not eligible. I'm kidding. Caller number 3-615-737-1025. You will win a pair of tickets to see Sting at The Truth on Tuesday, October 20th, as a part of our 15th birthday celebration. More coming, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Friday. We're live at T-Line in West Nashville. It's our 15th birthday celebration, and it's not a party without the coach, Jeff Fisher, who is with us hanging out. We appreciate him, obviously fresh off a Cats championship in AF1, which was very cool. Another successful season for the league as the commissioner.
Really good. Really excited the way things ended up. I mean, could you ask for a better, ending to the championship game, the Arena Crown, than 53-53 at the 1 minute warning and last play of the game. So I mean, it was a great thing. I was sitting with both of the Albany owners there, actually the whole game. But when I think the Cats were up 23-2 or
That's
something
right.
like that.
That's right.
And he was like waving the towel. Hey man, we're gonna get on our private plane here and fly back to Albany and just let me know how things end up, and then it comes down to that. So yeah, it was really good. We're real busy, as you can imagine. The league right now, we're talking to different markets, and you know, as always, and we got some really, really promising opportunities out there, you know, just from a geographical standpoint, you know, just putting things together. So some great ownership groups that we're visiting with, and you know, we'll be announcing those things over the next couple of weeks.
Well, so. You got Austin.
We got Austin.
They've
yeah,
made
we
it public.
Do. Oh, yeah.
They Kenny Vaccaro's going to coach.
Yes, he is, and very, very excited about they're excited about that, about Kenny, and what a great career, and you know, University of Texas guy anyway, so I mean that makes a lot of sense.
Right.
Caution them on the front end a little bit that the 11-on-11 and the 8-on-8, they're completely different.
They're different.
Yep. So
Joe's learned that.
I know. Yeah. So basically, it's make sure that, and they are, they're doing their due diligence, and they understand that. But you need to make sure you got decades of experience at the coordinator positions, because not only are there the characteristics and the qualities of the player, the athletic abilities and size and measurements and all those things different, but the game is different. The X's and O's are different, and the rules are different, and all that stuff. So, yeah, but they're on track. That's going to be a great market.
Good.
Speaking of the University of Texas, I guess there is a player we need to talk about. Bo Scaife, Michael Griffin, they were great players for you. The Vince Young documentary.
Ahmad Hall, Sarge.
You had a lot of UT guys.
We did after that game. I remember it like it was yesterday.
Were you watching at that game?
No. Okay. I was actually Julie and I were talking about it last night. We were over at Alan Lowry's house.
Okay.
Alan was the University of Texas, and we had a national championship.
You're USC.
USC, Alan Lowry, and so we're sitting there watching it going, man, I'd love to get one of these guys off this roster, you know, and then we did. We got a whole bunch of them.
So the documentary is out. I watched it the other night. And what was interesting is I was watching with my girlfriend who knew nothing of the history and Vince Young and the Titans and you and all that. She knew that I worked with you. And, you know, so watching it with her, seeing, you know, kind of seeing through new eyes where I lived it, was pretty interesting. I don't know if you've had a chance to watch the whole thing yet. Obviously, you're in it.
Yeah, I didn't. I have not. I got through the trailer last night because I've been getting a lot of calls. And so I figured that I would take some time and do it. But, you know, I did the Steve
It's Steve the same next, people, I
it's,
think.
It's Netflix, but I think they're – I don't know if they're the same producers. But anyway – you know, there's things get edited, and you take things out of context, and they form their own narrative and things like that. And so, I saw a little bit of that to begin with, and so I'll sit down and listen to it. But they reached out to me, and you know, I mean, it's a story. It's a huge story because of the potential and the athletic ability and the college career and a lot of great things that he did here and the opportunity he had. But, you know, so I don't know where it's going to go and the twists and turns and things like that, but I'm going to watch it. But we did everything we possibly could, you know, and to try to, you know, help him along the way. And, you know, there just was so many distractions in his life that, you know, it just became overwhelming. And, you know, I was fortunate early on in the career to have Steve to lean on, to have text, hey, Steve, you need to call Vince and, you know, you guys got to, you know, talk this thing out here, you know,
right.
and help me a little bit with him because Vince grew up just, he called Steve Pops. He met him in a football camp that Steve had and just really looked up to and admired him. So
Vince's father was not in his life.
That's right. And his mother was very much in his life. Yep. Grandmother was very much in his life. And then, you know, what happens sometimes is that there are also people that talk their way into your life that can help you and then end up hurting you and end up being distractions. And so, I mean, some of the things he did from a positive standpoint athletically, I mean, we all remember the career that he had at University of Texas. I mean, oh my gosh.
Yeah, but it's more than one game.
And again, there were so many things that he had a rabbit's foot in his back pocket and just like, how did he just do that? Or did
right.
No, he came from behind in some games and won them for us and so on and so forth. But just emotionally, it was a roller coaster for him. And, you know, I was there for him and did my best. But at some point, you know, you just got to kind of lay it out there because it is a profession. And there were some things that took place that I thought were less than professional. And and there are a lot of things that I didn't disclose. But when they asked me to get involved, and I said I would, I said, you can ask me anything. I said, I'm going to answer your questions truthfully and, you know, with accurate recollection. So I'm interested to see where it goes.
The one I hate was, you know, the female in it. I haven't watched it, but she said that you hated Vince before he got here. And I know you decent.
That was his wife.
It was his wife. That. Okay.
Yeah. His wife wasn't even right. in the picture back then.
Right. Yeah. And I'm okay. like, I don't.
Where
this,
did that
this
come?
True.
Where did that come from?
Right.
So that's, you know, it's, well, how could you say that?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, hate somebody? No. I mean, if I had the quarterbacks ranked a little different,
yeah.
And you know, at some point, if the owner gets involved and says, "Hey, I own the team. This is who you're going to take." You say, "Yes, sir."
Right.
And you do the best you can to help the player become as successful as he can. I mean, that's a first round, third pick in a draft type of quarterback that I mean, we got him. Let's go. And let's figure out what he can do, what he can't do, and go. And we did everything possible to do that. But, hated him from the start. That, I mean, all right, maybe I don't need to look at it. You know,
well, because you, all right, so you and Floyd were kind of on Cutler, right?
Yes.
And y'all were aligned on that. From I've heard that from him. I've heard that from you.
Yeah. I mean, we had Jay in the Senior Bowl. We, yeah. I mean, who,
he was in your backyard.
Oh, you could, gosh, yeah. And to watch those – watch the highlights or the lowlight, just that what Jay overcame, you know, there at Vandy, the beating that he took. But, the I mean, what he had going was amazing. And, you know, it was interesting. One thing I didn't mention was that I get a call Friday night before the Saturday draft from Mike Shanahan. Mike and I have been close. We've developed a real close relationship. We were together with the 49ers and da-da-da-da-da. And Mike says, hey, he goes, hey, I'm looking at this thing tomorrow, and he says, there's a chance that Cutler could fall to me. And he goes, I haven't done him. I haven't met him personally. I mean, can you? And I go, well, how do you know we're not taking him? And he kind of laughs. He goes, the word's out. Okay. And he goes, so anyway, we got past that. And you know, I was talking to him about Jay and everything that I thought. And but, yeah, it was. It was that way. I mean, and I think, you know, if you want to win now, it's Cutler, Leinart, and Young. If you want to have the opportunity that – And the hope and the expectation that someone will grow athletically with the God-given athletic ability that he had, then you go that way. But, yeah, Bud said, hey, this is who we're taking. We said, okay, yes, sir. We'll make the most of it.
So it's my understanding that – so at the time, Steve's still on the roster. Steve's still the quarterback when you guys go through the draft. Was the idea that you had and Floyd had – that Vince was going to come in and Steve was still going to be here? I know he had the contract, but that could have been worked through. And then Bud comes in and makes Floyd lock him out. Is that how it all went down?
That's how it went, yeah. Yeah. So.
But was your idea that if Vince had Steve for at least a year, that was going to be beneficial to Vince?
Oh, of course it was. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we thought it was. But I really didn't see that happening, only just knowing Bud. You know, because he's gonna be your guy here. You're gonna draft him, and he's gonna play. So, and then you know, with what you know, there was a roster bonus an annual bonus that was coming up to where if Steve's paid this bonus, then his salary's basically guaranteed. He's gonna be here this year, and Bud had already made his mind up or had been talked into. Making his mind up not to give Steve and just give it to turn the keys over to Vince.
It's just the whole thing. I mean, I lived it, right? I mean, I haven't watched the documentary, but like from 06 to 10 in the media, we lived all that. I mean, it was – so there's two stories we see here. Vince can come back and say whatever story he wants now, and you've got your side, he's got his side, and we all saw it here in the media what went on, and there was no doubt he had immense talent. It just never corresponded to being on the field. And I wasn't in the meetings. I know he missed practice. I know he missed meetings, the rumor off that. But
Missed the plane.
So we weren't there. You were there. You know.
Yeah, there were some issues. You know, and those things, I mean, you know, you try to make sense of how do you miss the plane. Well, you know what? I mean, I heard him say he got behind a funeral or something like that. Yeah. And. You know, it didn't go down the way he said it did, and I wasn't concerned about him being missing the plane. We already had a U.S. Air flight ready for him. I got him on the phone as we're working our way down the tarmac as he pulls into the thing, going, "Hey, dude, I don't want to know what happened. I really don't care, but we got a guy waiting for you at the U.S. Air counter over there, and we got a direct flight for you into Philadelphia. Just go park your car and meet so and so, and you get on a plane and fly. And you might even beat us there." Right. And then it was, "I'm not coming."
Yeah.
And then that's when it started, and so then it was.
And that's his rookie year.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Yes, I think it was his rookie year.
Yeah,
yeah. And we're going to Philly, and I mean, the big thing was for me was this. Hey, you know, you got you had a chance to compete, and I knew this meant a lot to him. He got Steve was already in Baltimore, and we lost at home here.
That's right.
He lost to Steve.
Yep.
Next week now, he's looked up to who was it? Who was
Donovan McNabb.
McNabb, yeah. Well, these are guys. These are great players in the NFL he's looking up to. He gets a chance to play them in back-to-back weeks. And now we go. He missed the flight for whatever reason. It wasn't a big deal. But the issue to me was that, okay, let's go win the game. Okay, I don't care what happened, but it was such a struggle to get him mentally prepared to win the game because he was hurt and embarrassed and mad.
Yeah,
that he was left behind.
Because he's a starting quarterback.
Yeah,
in his mind.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was. But I mean, your times are slotted. You know. I mean, you're
right. Right.
You know.
Let me ask you this: When's the last time you spoke to Vince? Face to face or on the phone? Not through a text or through something like this.
I can't. I can't remember. Might have been when he walked out of the locker room. And it was later on. It was obviously 2010, maybe, when he decided that he just wasn't coming back. He was mad. He had an issue in the ball game. He went in. He threw his stuff up in the stands, I guess, and his shoulder pads, and went in the locker room. And when we came in, waiting for everybody to come into the locker room, he was busying himself, putting his bag together, you know, didn't shower, and he was gone. He was going to leave, and I just said, hey, I said, Vince, just come on, sit down. We'll get through this. You know, we're going to get through this. This was a hard game, but da-da-da-da-da. And then the door shut, and everybody was in, and Vince grabbed his bag. He started walking towards the door. I go, hey, man, this is not the time to walk out on your teammates. Don't do that. And he said, I'm not. I'm walking out on you. And phrased it, I mean, that I can't repeat. And I said, guys, open the door. I said, if you go through that door, you're never coming back. And he walked out that door.
Yeah.
So that was, we had Randy Moss at the time, mm-hmm. you know, and Randy came in the next day. He goes, hey, what did the quarterback say? You guys patch it up? I go, no. And he didn't come in. He goes, really? He goes, wow. And then that was it. We finished, you know.
Yeah.
So, and that was a finger thing. And he legitimately had an issue, you know. And that was the thing was understood. I gave him he wanted to play. I gave him every chance to play. You know, he hurt the finger. He hurt the finger on a incomplete pass. Second down, he handed the ball off, and then he took a knee. And we're kind of in field goal range, and it's a close game. And he takes a knee, so we got a burnt timeout, and came off. And trainer said, we got to take him in. We suspect he may have torn a flexor tendon or whatever it was. And so they go in, and then he comes back about 10 minutes later. He goes, he's got a torn flexor tendon, but he wants to try to play. And I said, well, if he can throw, he can play. And so give me a ball. They got a ball, and Randy got over on the sideline, was going to just catch a couple passes from him on the sideline. And his first attempt to complete, to hit Randy in the chest with the ball, lands at his feet. And then the second ball he throws goes over Randy's head. Now, Randy's a big, tall dude.
Yeah.
Okay, and that was just like, man, Vince, you can't throw. I can't let you in.
Right.
You know? And that's when that was it. Yeah. And
so
he was legitimately hurt this time.
Yeah. So last thing I'll ask about it. Obviously, a lot of people have seen the clip that's gone viral that from the documentary. He said he wrote you and apologized. I guess he spelt your name wrong. And you didn't respond. Did he legitimately apologize? Or how do you want to respond to that? Because I do want to give you a chance to respond to how that's been
I knew
portrayed.
This was a significant amount of time later.
Yeah.
Okay. And I knew he was doing some stuff with the university. He was in the football office. He was doing stuff at University of Texas back there, Alumni Association, and things like that. And I had heard that he was doing good. He had maybe an issue or two while he was there doing that. And then I got a letter and it was from the University of Texas football office, and it was addressed to me, and my name was spelled wrong. And I just, I didn't have any reason to look at anything or anything. And
so you didn't know it was him?
No, I disregarded yeah. it, you know. And so, and then he comes back later and says that he had sent me a letter of apology. And you know, I welcome an apology like that, but my name was spelled wrong.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and, you know, he just, and again, he lost track of some, you know, some dates and, you know, times in the story that I told you earlier. And so I just didn't really have the way it ended. I thought, I mean, if he was genuinely apologizing, and I'll accept that. But at that time, I didn't know who it was from.
So you're open to talking to him?
I don't have a problem talking to him. Absolutely not. Yeah. No, I don't. Because I, you know. You know, I had a lot of hard conversations with them.
Yeah.
You know, and there weren't, you know, wasn't the browbeating coach type of conversations. They were just like, this, why were you thinking this way? Or what motivated you to do this? Or, you know, how did that happen? And, you know, it was just, it was a string of things that happened. For example, you know, back then we had the rookie symposiums, okay?
Yeah.
And so every draft choice and basically every priority free agent that were drafted and signed in April after the draft, they were all required to go in from every club, all the teams, and you send your draft class in there, and they wear shirts, and they're there for an educational, informational symposium. There's different speakers that speak there, you know, in front of the group. So he goes in there the year before, and he comes back the next year, and they asked him to speak. And so they recorded his speech, and his speech was basically, hey, guys, I mean, it's like, not paraphrasing it, but nothing good happens after midnight. Be careful when you're out late and doing this, because there's, you know, technologies, there are people taking pictures and doing things. It was just when you just started to post things, like, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And he has a decent speech. He's talking to the next year's rookie class because he got rookie of the year, whatever it was. And shoot, it was playoff. You know, we got the Chargers. And so anyway, you know, a short period of time after that, during the summer, during the break, there is a picture that's posted, and he's celebrating his birthday, and everybody's got their shirts off, and everybody's got a ball of tequila, and everybody, I mean, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning, and, you know, yep. he went out and did exactly what he was
saying not to do, yeah.
You know? And it was great content for me because I got invited to go speak the next year. and I basically told the story, and then, boom, I put the picture up, you know. And I said, you know, 1 year is not going to make – I mean, you're not going to learn everything that you need to learn in 1 year. You've got a responsibility to represent the NFL, the club that you're with, and the fans and your teammates, et cetera. And I have no problem with guys going out and having fun and enjoying themselves. And, you know, it's just, you know, okay. If you're going to, you know, if you're going to walk the walk, you know, talk the talk, then be consistent. And, again, those are just little things that happen. But tremendously talented. Oh, my goodness. Could he throw it with accuracy and, you know.
Watching those highlights that they show in the documentary, I mean, I'm sitting up going like, man, I remember these days.
Yeah.
Like, you know, some of the – I mean, he'd get an open lane.
And gone.
He's gone.
Let me ask, is a player ever done this, had this much animosity towards you that you're like, what, huh? I got to think he's – there's a few guys who get pissed off that you cut him. That's life, right? But to take this now 20 years later, it's just odd.
I think there's some – is there not some stuff in there where he was rehashing his experience in Philadelphia as well?
Yeah, with the Eagles? A little bit, yeah.
And he was a little sour on that experience as well, so.
Well, what's interesting, and I do hope you watch it because I think you'll see some things. A lot of the stuff that you probably experienced, Mack Brown experienced too. But it was, you know, he looked at him as, look how good this guy is. I got to figure out how to get through this because we have a really good team. But there was a story where he left practice and was going to quit the University of Texas because he got his feelings hurt. And Mack calls him and says, what are you doing? Go back. Don't quit. And this is, he's a sophomore or junior in college. So there were some of those things that had showed themselves even at that point before he even got to the league.
Yeah, it's interesting because there were numerous times on the sidelines where...
And when I say Mack, I mean Steve McNair, not Mack Jones.
Yeah,
Steve called.
Right, Steve, yeah. But there were times on the sidelines where, you know, it was like, you know, whether it was Dinger, Norm Chow, or, you know, it was like I get a call and go, you need to talk to our quarterback. He's not in a good place right now. He doesn't want to play.
Wow.
And, you know, it's like, so now, you know, you've seen those shots that... The head coach on the sideline with his call sheet, and you know you can't read his lips, you know, and you know I'm having a conversation with him. You can't read my lips. And it's like, come on, man. Oh, we got
to
go back out there and win this
game.
Yeah, no, I'm just talking to him. He can hear me. Yeah, but it's like, gosh, come on, let's just put it behind you. It's positions hard enough to play. You know, just put it behind you. Still got a chance to go win this game, kind of thing. And so there was numerous times when that. When those kind of things took place, but
not to know if you remember this. Did Bud ever say what's going on here? Did he ever put himself in like, hey, what's happening here? Or did he know?
No, it was not. No, Bud at that point, no. Okay, no, Bud wasn't. You know, we didn't have any. You know, that was the thing. You know, you had to be careful with how you phrase things to Mr. Adams and so on and so forth. And so, you know, there was always a – Floyd was always the, you know, he was the barrier, you know, and he did a great job with that. And then Jeff Diamond got it didn't la- it killed Jeff Diamond. So,
right.
He was adamant about, you know, this is who we're taking. And, you know, when you won, he was really excited. And when he made big time plays and things like that, he was really excited.
Yeah. So. We appreciate you doing this. I know that talking about these things are
not always fun.
We like the fun stories
with
you.
I want everybody to be successful, and I want everybody to do well and all those kind of things. And it was, you know, I was equally frustrated from my own perspective as he was that it didn't work out. And there were flashes and great memories, but there were also things that were, you know, extremely very, very difficult and were distractions.
I will say this, and as we celebrate our 15 years, it's funny to think about. You were with the Rams when we came on as a station, but you've always been good to us whenever we've asked you to come on, both when you were still in the league and then post-league and now with AF1. And I said it earlier, but on a personal level, the fact that I've got to develop a relationship with you, I had a really good relationship with Floyd before he passed, as a Titans fan since you guys got here is the coolest thing in the world. So
well,
thank you.
I appreciate you saying that. And, again, I mean, heartfelt congratulations.
Thanks, buddy.
What's going on right now, guys, is Greg Pogue has – now, one is a small and one is a medium.
I'll take the small.
We'll squeeze into that.
Crown – championship t-shirts
on the stream.
Look at that.
Yes. Yep. Thank you.
How
That's
about
awesome.
That?
Now, Greg's promised us rings. Is that when do we get fitted for that? When do we get fitted for that?
Jeff's like, I got to go.
No, we appreciate you,
okay,
Coach.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for everything.
Congratulations on the job well done. Keep it up.
We do need to have an evening where it's just story time.
Oh, let's do fun. It. Let's not let that not happen.
Yeah.
Let's make it happen. That would be fun.
Thank you.
We will come back and wrap things up from T-Line in West Nashville. Parker Kelly's been great today helping us out. Let's give away one more pair of tickets to the all-inclusive 501 Club at Bridgestone Arena. See Luke Bryan Thursday, September 24th. First caller, 615-737-1025, and you'll win those tickets. We'll come back and wrap it up next. Chase and Big Joe, 1025 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Friday, wrapping things up from T-Line in West Nashville. I want to thank them
for hosting our 15th birthday party here today. And it, JoJo, it's been great. We just had an hour with the coach, which was fantastic. But wow, it's been awesome being here. That, we talked about memorable interviews. That was one.
That might be at the top.
Yeah, for
that
sure.
That was amazing. Well, I appreciate the transparency from the coach.
I know we're running late, and I apologize to DVD, but I do want to take some time to say a few things as not only one of the hosts here, but as the program director and as a kid out of MTSU that just wanted a chance in broadcasting, that took a chance on a new station, that took a chance on him, and started as an intern, and 15 years later, I'm still here. So today's a little personal. Because I've seen this thing grow from the beginning. I've been able to work with a lot of fantastic people. And I'm not going to name everybody because I'm probably going to forget somebody. But there are a few, Bud Walters being number one. He is the president, the owner of Cromwell Media. He's the one that took the chance and made this a sports station and stuck with it through thick and thin.
Yep.
And there have been both over the course of 15 years, but he did that. Tynty Krause was our first general manager that was a part of that at the very beginning and had worked for Bud for a long time. Jana Hampton, who had been on the sales staff as the sales manager and then became the general manager, had took this over. And, you know, she did a great job with what she had. And then Dennis Guaysdon and now Sean Fort has done a tremendous job as the general manager. Jeremy Benefield was our first PD with Troy Hansen as the ops manager. He hired me. He hired Ryan Porth. Showed us some great things to do, things not to do, and we learned a lot from him. And then Ryan took over as PD, and ultimately I've had it. We've had a lot of great talent that have come through here. Three of them about to go on the air with Willie Donick and Derek Mason. Adam Vingan, I've had the chance to work with those guys, and they have been fantastic. Willie came in around the same time I did and Joe did and did the Sports Revolution as our afternoon show. That was after Aaron Solomon got things on the air. Darren McFarland, Brad Hopkins doing the first quarter. Darren was the first voice you heard, and Darren has meant the world to me as a friend and as a colleague, and we are still friends. To this day, he will text me and just see how I'm doing, and I appreciate that. And so he's come through. A to Z Sports got their start here with Austin and Zach, and to see what they're doing now is amazing. Buck Rising as well. Caroline Fenton, Jason Fitz, Braden Gall, Nick Kale have come through as hosts on this station and have gone on to other things. And yeah. Look, Floyd Reese, the GM, working with him as a guy that, with Jeff, built the Titans into what they eventually became. Having him and having that knowledge was just so cool. I mean, really, that's the best. You got to talk to him some.
Yeah, right.
I remember standing at the combine with John Robinson and Floyd, and you and I just standing there listening to them talk and tell stories.
That's right.
Nick Saban, you know, talking about Floyd. And Jared Stillman, and it's complicated. It's the best way to put it. I know that, you know, he's hurt and doesn't like me very much, and that's okay. I'm grateful to him, and I'm grateful to what he did for this station, and what he did in his career. He started as an intern too, and built it into what he's doing today. So, I hope he hears this, and I thank him, and we thank him, and we thank everybody that has come through and been a part of the history of 102.5 The Game. So I wanted to take a moment to just kind of say that. I'm sorry we're behind, but we'll turn things over to DVD. But thank you all for listening. Thanks for being along with us, and here's to 15 more years. That is going to do it for Chasing Big Joe. DVD, coming your way next.
Yeah, thanks for everything. And our message continuously, men go to therapy, know how much God loves you. So much we love you, and thanks for being part of our show every day. And we do not take this for granted. So thank you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. We'll talk to you Monday. DVD next. 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane. Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.